104.7's Ryan and Tanya.
Joining on the phone right now, this man spent 4 months living in San Pedro prison in Bolivia, learning more about drug markets and prison life, and he's got a documentary out today called Wildlands. Rusty Young, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, let's talk about the original book, Marching Powder. I just want to know how it comes about. That do you just randomly decide one day, yep, I'm going to go and spend 3 months in a Bolivian prison, or what happens before then? What makes you so obsessed with this sort of thing?
I just finished my law degree and I went travelling through South America with my then girlfriend Simone, and our last planned day in Bolivia, we stumbled across this prison called San Pedro Prison in La Paz, Bolivia. We went inside to do a tour. It was listed in the Lonely Planet guidebook as being the world's most bizarre tourist attraction, and it certainly lived up to its name. And then I went inside, I met a guy called Thomas McFadden, who was a African-born English drug trafficker who'd been caught with 5 kilograms of cocaine trying to smuggle it out of the airport, and he took us on a tour of the prison.
So the inmate was taking you on a tour?
Yeah, that's right. It's a very strange prison system in that the guards don't go inside, the inmates don't wear uniforms, they have to purchase their own prison cells, and they have to make money because the government really does very little for them. So this particular inmate, Thomas McFadden, didn't speak Spanish, so he came up with the idea of running guided tours inside the prison. So for $5, you could go inside the prison and spend an hour doing a tour, and if you wanted to spend an extra $5, you could spend the night inside the prison.
Wow.
For $5. Because, I've seen parts of a documentary about this, and it doesn't feel or look like a jail. It just seems like a weird little village. Is that a fair way to describe it?
That's right. It's really, really strange. It's in the dead centre of the city. So if you think somewhere in the centre of Canberra, this prison with 15-metre walls, you can't actually see, obviously, inside from out in the plaza. But once you go inside, it really is just like a small village. And the inmates live with their wives and their children and their pets, and there's restaurants and shops. And
what?
So, and because they don't have uniforms on, it's very difficult to distinguish the inmates from the visitors.
Would it be very easy for the inmates to escape? Because what I remember is, the kids live there, then they go to school and they just walk back in the door later and get home and have dinner with their family. And it seems when you see that sort of thing that why aren't the inmates just walking out themselves and not coming back?
Mm.
Well, Bolivia is a very poor country. So, in fact, one of the things that surprised me was that there were very, very few escapes. There was one case when I was there of an inmate dressing up as a woman and taking her visitors past and, putting on a wig and a hat, one of the bowler hats and the big skirts and walking out past the guards. But most of it's a small country, so if you did escape, where would you go?
Yeah.
And if they caught you and brought you back, then you'd be in serious trouble. So a lot of the inmates it's the conditions inside aren't so bad that they really, really want to escape.
So this is so interesting. So, Rusty, you met this guy, had this tour, and then decided to write his biography.
That's correct, yeah. So initially I didn't have any idea how long I was going to stay in there. I just thought, do a few interviews, maybe it'll take a week or two, and then I'll go away and write this book. But I really, really became deeply involved in Thomas's life and ended up spending 3 months at first inside his prison cell, and then I got arrested and kicked out of the country. And they said, look, if you ever come back to this prison, we'll arrest you and put you in prison. So it was really strange.
That's what I want.
Irony.
Exactly. And the pretext for kicking me out of the country was bribery. And then, of course, the only way back into the country was to bribe them.
Oh, my God. So you got back in?
I got back in. I spent one more month in there. And then Thomas and I left Bolivia. We got him in a prison. And then we ended up writing Marching Powder together.
And now you've got this new documentary. It's called Wildlands, which again explores the Bolivian drug trade. I believe you've met someone. It was Pablo Escobar's right-hand man who is responsible for, 3,000 murders, and you're just chatting to him. Are you shaking in your boots talking to this cold, hard killer?
Yeah, that interview was done in Medellin, which is the city where Pablo Escobar operated his cartel from. And the gentleman, John Jairo Velasquez, or nicknamed Popeye, had just got out of prison. He'd killed, I think, 250 people himself, and he was responsible for 3,000 murders. So it was, yeah, it was a little bit nerve-wracking. My voice was quivering. I was shaking a little bit when on some of the tougher questions. But, yeah, it was an interesting interview.
Do they have a bit of, like, aura about them? Or when they're in prison, if someone's killed that many people, are they, like, more feared or are they more respected? Or, like, how do other people sort of treat someone that's known to have killed or been a part of killing 3,000 people?
It's interesting. The entire country of Colombia absolutely despises this guy. I mean, the Pablo Escobar and the Medellin cartel did untold damage, responsible for thousands of deaths, for incredible levels of corruption, violence, human rights abuses. But in the poor suburbs of Medellin, where Pablo Escobar used to donate houses and money, he's still, this guy Popeye is still considered a bit of a hero. So there's a real contrast between poor people and the way they look at Pablo Escobar and his henchmen, and the way that the country in general looks at him.
Now, I've watched a lot of Narcos on Netflix. It's one of my favourite shows. As someone who may know a lot more than the regular person about what went on, how close is the TV show to what actually happened?
Yeah, Jose Padilla is the EP of that. He did a really good job of, you know, condensing essentially an extremely complex and lengthy period of time. So there's a lot of accuracies. There's a few sort of time changes and stuff that he's done. But overall, I'd say it's pretty indicative of what was happening.
Because I heard at one stage he was spending $1,000 per week on lacquer bands just to keep the cash together.
Yeah, easily. And the difficulty for the drug traffickers was counting the money. It would take hours, even with those...
what a problem.
Yeah.
And my life is so hard, counting all this cash. God damn it.
Where to store it so it didn't get mouldy. And
oh, my God.
That was a big problem. Having too much money was a big problem.
You just must be fascinated by this culture, because for you to continually come back to this, and I know you're going to do a Marching Powder film, which I cannot wait to see. What do you think it is? Are you interested in the people behind it? Are you interested in drug trafficking? Like, what's the deal? Why are we so fascinated by it?
So I think these stories that are so different to our own lives draw us, because they're sort of exciting, they're dramatic, they're dangerous. They're things that we, in general, wouldn't want to be involved in ourselves, but it can be, let's say, entertaining to watch it represented on film or in a book.
And what about you personally?
Personally, look, I just fell into this. I was a law student. I just graduated. I went travelling and I loved South America, and I ended up living for the best part of a decade in South America, mainly in Colombia. And I just loved the culture, the people, and there were just so many amazing stories around the drug trade that I found it, constantly stimulating.
Now, there's rumours that Thomas in the movie will be played by Don Cheadle, but I think he's now been replaced by, what's that other guy's name, Maddie? I keep forgetting.
Yeah, Chiwetel Ejiofor, who's an amazing actor, and I think he would be such a fantastic Thomas, basically.
So who's going to play you then?
I have absolutely no idea. I dread to think. I was 25 at the time, and I'm now in my early 40s, so it'd be interesting to see which actor they choose.
Who would you like? Who would you like to play you?
Oh, I have no idea.
Shia LaBeouf? Oh, no, he's got...
No.
You don't have any facial hair.
And Rusty's also not a dickhead, so there's that.
No.
So we'll get Shia. But yeah.
I think Shia's a good actor. This has been such an amazing chat. Rusty, thank you so much for your time. We so appreciate it. And best of luck with this series. And if you're listening this morning, it's Wildlands. And where can people download it or get it, Rusty?
Yeah, people should be able to download it later this week on iTunes, Amazon and Google Play.
Awesome. Rusty Young, thank you so much for joining us this morning, mate. Really appreciate it.
Hit 104.7.
Thank you, Kenny and Ryan.